Welcome to Reframe. This is a place for us to consider the simple changes we can make in the way that we see life. We're all doing the best we can with what we know. But when we reframe the way we see things, we know better. And when we know better, we do better. We create a new thought, and it can't help but affect how we move through the world. Change is an inside job. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm here with Jenna, and I've chosen a question this week that we get variations on this question quite a bit. So, Jenna, what do you do when your partner is in a bad or low mood or is just generally upset?
Okay, so we can't kind of address this question without talking first about the difference of our emotional waves in human design, where if everybody's truly living their design, the people who have the emotional waves are the kind of volatile ones. So everyone who's emotional authority, which is about 51% of the population, are the volatile ones. So that would be me and your husband, but not my other half and not you. So essentially what happens when you are someone who has emotional authority is that you are going to not have control over the fact that sometimes you wake up and you feel good and happy, and sometimes you wake up and you feel low or bluesy or upset. Not necessarily upset, but just cranky or moody or whatever it is, right? So, you know, for every high, there's a low for people with emotional waves. Of course, I just want to make absolutely clear that this doesn't include people with, you know, mental health issues, people who are depressed, people who are going through certain situations, tough situations in their lives. You know, that's sort of, we can just leave that aside for now and talk about it later. But when you're talking about an intimate romantic relationship, the person who is the sort of more up and down one is usually supposed to be the person with emotional authority. Now, unfortunately, what happens though is that because people that are the open emotionals or the non-emotionals are the ones that feel other people's emotions more, that they actually are the people who end up taking on other people's moods that aren't really theirs. So when you talk about where codependency shows up in different areas in a chart, usually people that are non-emotional are the people who really get affected by someone else's, mood swings or ups and downs, essentially. And the only time when you as a emotional person would be feeling more like you're a non-emotional person is if probably you're raised by non-emotional people. So for example, both my parents are non-emotional and I'm emotional. So I had to decondition from their non-emotional stance of taking everything on of other people's too. So sometimes human design isn't so black and white, because conditioning from, we have to look at who our caregivers are and realize how have we picked up their patterns that may have been part of their design, but actually isn't part of our design at all. I digress. But essentially, for the non-emotionals among us, this is a real priority, because non-emotional people have the gift of being able to really sense other people's emotional state, which is actually a gift when you're thinking about, you know, let's say, for example, me, who's emotional, I'm not in like a huge high or a huge low, but I have some latent emotional stuff going on in the background. And I might not even be aware of it, but you, as an emotionally open person, would be able to really pick up on that and see that in me and help me gain clarity over that. You're almost like my mirror that can really help me see stuff that I can't. Because us emotional people, we cannot see the wood from the tree sometimes. We are mired with our own wave. We think that we feel one way and we don't. And it's coming off in a totally different way to the people that are non-emotional. So the non-emotional people are here to basically bring clarity and bring visibility to the people that have all these ups and downs in life. So they are real gift givers of today's world, where so much of our collective karma is about understanding each other emotionally and really having emotional vulnerability and intimacy with each other. But we cannot have that if the open emotionals are just getting affected by everything that they feel and therefore pulling themselves out of being involved, taking themselves out of the race, wanting space all the time, being overly, you know, taken down by it or whatever it is, because we actually need you guys, you non-emotional people, the people that are picking up on what everyone else is feeling emotionally and really being able to help us grow because of it. Now, if you're emotional and you're thinking, hold on, but I'm empathic too. Yes, you are empathic, but look at the places where you're open because that's where you feel other people. So it's not that non-emotionals feel people and emotionals feel and emotionals don't feel people. It's that everybody feels others in the areas where they're white. So that's why I say all the time, everybody's sensitive, everybody's empathic, everybody has the ability to tune into other people. For me, I'm an emotional authority. I can feel people in many different ways, but I'm not great at feeling their emotions because mine cloud my vision. So I might think that I see something, but I don't. So when your partner is in a bad mood or upset, we're talking specifically from the emotional center here, but let's make it more general. Let's say when your partner is anxious or is worrying or is in overthinking or in a rush, pressurizing themselves, fearful, we may as well just throw that all into the question, right? So essentially what we want to realize is that the worst thing we can do for somebody's growth is rob them of their learning opportunities. And the learning opportunities in life, unfortunately, are the down moments, are the, you know, rock bottoms, are the places where you have pain and where your heart is shattered, because unfortunately, we are not built to want to grow when times are good. And that's why life builds in this sort of barrier to help us move forward by creating pain. Now, I always think, I'm always trying to experiment as well with doing this thing of like, when things are good, I make sure I make a note whenever I feel like, oh my God, life is so good. I make sure that I make a note to actually ask myself how I can grow or what I could still work on in a kind and loving way, because maybe that would avoid me having to go through pain to get that message, right? So how can we listen when the times are more subtle, which saves us from needing to have so many lows and things? Who knows? But, you know, when someone else is going through that process, you cannot think that you being, it's not loving, it's not helpful, it's not anything to try and interfere with their process. So if they are in a place where they're so mired in it and they're so in it that they literally just want to go and feel the pain, and everybody goes through that phase one where you're like, self-centered with the pain, self-centered with the trigger, with the worry. It's all about you. The world closes in on just your vision, right? That is not the time to go and interfere with somebody. If you want to truly help someone, you have to wait till stage two, where they're a bit kind of already slightly over it. They're not in the emotion. It's not the focus of their like life that it's so myopic right now. When things have kind of calmed down, that's when, if you are in a relationship where you feel like it's open, you already have this space of having open communication where they're not defensive, where you're not bossy and imposing your shit on people. There's a lot of, let's say, creating good conditions around this as a caveat, but that's when you can say, do you know what, honey, I feel like, you know, I feel like you worry so much and it's your immediate pattern that the second that something happens, you might immediately default to worry. How can we like stop you from getting into that pattern? And I would say actually we is much better than I or you, because it's really coming at this from a place of my problems are your problems. I'm not putting you down. I'm not creating separation by saying you do this and I do this, because that's never a good feeling for anyone, right? So when your partner is in a low mood or upset or anxious or stressed or whatever it is, don't do something in that moment. Resist, hold back. No matter who you are, whether you're emotional or non-emotional, when you're feeling the other person and it's affecting you, actually prioritize yourself in that moment, because sometimes what we do is we go, oh my gosh, then it becomes our own narrative. Like, my partner's always upset and I need to like, oh, I'm so worried. And like, how do I fix him? And how do I help him? And oh, this is so bad. And oh, this is going to ruin my day. And oh, I need space from him and blah, blah, blah. So when that person is going into their stage one, focus on yourself and get yourself right and try to create that healthy energetic boundary between, let me right now focus on keeping my mood high and keeping myself, you know, the way that, you know, focusing on my stuff. Let them go through their process and let me make sure that I don't go into that story, that narrative, which especially us as women have the ability to really want to, we love making our identity about managing our other half's happiness. which is so codependent. So in those moments where I feel like, oh my gosh, let's say, for example, Phil, who's my fiance, is, you know, worried about something at work, or, you know, he gets all he gets all weird when we're in social situations. He gets all like sometimes highly strung and he's like looking around the room and blah, blah, blah. It used to stress me out so much. And that was my fault because I used to create a story about that's not good. And now that I no longer tell myself, oh, he's doing this, that's not good, or that's wrong, or he's getting it wrong, or he's triggered and he should be doing this and da-da-da-da-da. Now all I go is, tell the actual facts rather than creating the story, Jen's. Like, what are the facts? The facts are that Phil is in a certain way because of I don't know what. The other facts are, I can totally create my own version of events and get, let me just, instead of going into his story and me going into his energy, let me just enjoy this party myself, because it's not it's not Phil's responsibility to be a certain way so that I can enjoy myself. So that's number one. And then number two, you know, if there's a calming period from there, and if it's something that he knows you're aware of, then it's easier to bring it up. If it's a pattern, an unconscious pattern that you've noticed in somebody, then you don't want to bring it up in stage two either. You kind of want to bring it up like talking about yourself in a time when things are totally cool, calm, and collected. Or you want to say, do you know what, babe? I really noticed that if I can say, you know, something I feel like would help you is whatever. And sometimes what happens is if you're trying to do this in the beginning, it is going to feel inauthentic because you are trying on a new behavior. So it's not going to come out. Like, you are going to slightly have to contrive it sometimes in order for it to start becoming part of your conversation. So don't be discouraged by if in the beginning it totally goes against you and they end up reacting or they don't like it or whatever, because you're trying a new template, right? So in the beginning, it isn't going to go like, oh, so perfect. And I just brought it up and he was so receptive, especially if you don't have any predecessing like patterns of doing that with yourself, with yourselves together. So you definitely, it's definitely something that you have to remember that you build, but not in a, oh my gosh, shush, we need to like manipulate and keep the man happy. And you know, that manipulation that us women do, it's just remembering that we have as much power to create the relationship that we want than they do. So instead of trying to go the back way and be all like sweet and subtle and soft and this and that, and try to make it happen and try to push it, I would just wait until you really feel like genuinely you can say something that is truly authentic when it comes to you and say, do you know what, babe? I kind of feel like, you know, it's such a waste of your time and you're so much better than that. Or, you know, even just sometimes to tell them so bluntly, like, by the way, that shit's not serving you, or whatever it is that's really authentic to you. I wouldn't try to do what I used to do in my previous relationship, which was like try to dumb it down and still come across all sweet and nice and saccharine, but yet trying to veil it with some deeply judgmental stance that I'm taking, you know?
That's just so interesting. And I think what I've always tried to do the minute I see my husband is perhaps not in a great mood or whatever, I would try and jump in immediately. Maybe this is also my 5-1 coming in, but I immediately want to fix whatever the problem is to make him happy again. Because the minute he's in a bad mood, I'm letting it affect my mood, and I don't want to feel that way, and I don't want him to feel that way. So I don't give him the time to come through any of it. And that's obviously what I need to try and do.
It's like when children are having tantrums, you kind of want to let them just do their thing. And then once they're over it, once they finish crying, then you can soothe, right? And obviously, we ultimately want to be able to give ourselves that process too, where we can let ourselves fully be in the state of whatever reaction that we're in, and then afterwards soothe ourselves down to it. So we want to be the same with our partners and our loved ones, our friends. We want to let them go through the raging, the crying, the whatever it is. And only then once, you know, the reason why that's important is because that all needs to be expressed. That all needs to come out. That has wisdom to give us. So we don't want to shorten that time and rush to the solution as much as that's painful for us. We don't want to skip any of the steps, because the steps, the feelings are what move us to change, what move us to learn, what move us to, and sometimes it's just move us to literally just express something so that it doesn't become suppressed, which is so healthy. We need to be able to scream and cry and shout and all that stuff way more, because otherwise it literally holds itself as dis ease in the body. And also it affects the way our design flows. So it's one and the same, obviously, those two things. So like you're saying, it's, I love what you said there, where it's like, I'm letting it affect me because it isn't, he's getting me down. That's still the story that we tell, especially when we use it as, we use being empathic or we use being sensitive as an excuse to stay victims. And we want to say, no, I take full responsibility for how I feel, despite how everyone else is feeling. Because otherwise we're creating all these sorts of conditions for other people to be a certain way for us to be happy. And that's control and manipulation on our part of them. So the more freedom we allow people to go through their stuff, the better. And the other thing that really helps with this is that let's just try not to be so afraid of the bad feelings. The bad feelings, the bad emotions, they're just as valuable to us as the good ones in ourselves and in others. So when you see someone in a bad mood, you can literally create a new story, which is like, oh, this is David when he's in a bad mood, or fulfill, you know, because I'm only saying fulfill to do it around me because I'm the one that's usually more moody than him. You know, this is, she's just down. She's just down today, you know?
But that is also another thing that we're conditioned with as kids, because we're always told to cheer up. We're always told, oh, stop crying. Oh, you know, don't be down. Don't be miserable. You know, we're told it's not good to not be happy. And we're meant to get ourselves out of it as quickly as we possibly can. We're not allowed to feel down.
And, you know, again, conditioning is just, there's so many layers of it, but this is a really big one where you're right. Like if we allow kids to rage, to scream, to cry, to yell from happiness too, not instead of shh, shh, shh the whole time, you know, we wouldn't be so afraid of the full spectrum of human emotion. And that's something that, you know, that's the whole point of this karmic cycle that we're in, is to stop being afraid of the range of what we feel as humanity. And it's because it makes life richer. It's because it educates us. It's because it creates change. It makes us wiser about ourselves. It makes us wiser about others. There are so many gifts if we were all or more emotionally, not only emotionally intelligent, but emotionally accepting and not taking, oh, when I'm in a good mood, it means I'm worthy. When I'm in a bad mood, I feel like there's something wrong with me. And therefore, I believe the same about everyone else. Then it's just here to be an observation. It's here that it makes life rich. It's like, okay, so you're in pain. It's not going to last forever. You may as well sit in it and see what it has to show you and just feel into it. Or say you're triggered. Instead of saying, I'm triggered. It's like, did you ever read that book by Michael Singer called The Untethered Soul? He basically, oh no, I forget if it was The Untethered. Yeah, it's like you can literally sit back and be your soul observing you, body you, being a certain way. It doesn't mean that it has any effect on your worth or who you are as a person. You just are experiencing different things. And how exciting, because if we were happy all the time, there'd literally be no point of coming here. There'd be no contrast. Happiness wouldn't even be appreciated. It wouldn't even be something that we strive towards. It would make life so dull and there'd be no growth. There literally would be no point in our souls coming here because there'd be no space for evolution and difference and contrast and us bumping up against each other sometimes and learning to love each other despite all that, right? If everyone was happy all the time and no one was triggered and no one was fearful and no one was upset, there'd be no upward growth. There'd be no magnetism to people where we're interested in the full complexities of who they are and how they work and how they overcame things despite stuff. And that's the stuff that makes our clocks tick when we read about it, because we can dissociate from right now. It has nothing to say about me if this person that I never knew about went through all these hard things, or this person on TV is talking about their shit. But the second it's someone we know and someone we're intimate with, oh no, how dare you? You're responsible for being a certain way because I expect you to stay happy. And we do the same with ourselves. So it just really is about reframing. A bad mood is just a bad mood. Lowness is just lowness. You know, anxiety, and there's a message there sometimes. There's our soul trying to tell us that we're sometimes not living in the right way, or we're having a wrong thought about what we're doing. And that's what needs to change. Now, I also did want to say on the subject of, you know, depression, mental health, it's obviously a huge spectrum. And there are some that are chemical. There are some that are literally hereditary and detectable like that. But I do feel like everybody has mental health issues, quote unquote, if you want to say that, in the sense that we all are responsible for managing thoughts that we have about life and the way that we approach life. Because if we don't curate it and take it under our own control, then life is going to make it super easy for us to have bad thoughts. And those can easily just become so automatic and create belief systems that end up just making our life a little bit bluer than it needs to be, or that it can be, when we are constantly, I guess, being mindful of what kind of perspective am I choosing to see this through? And if I notice myself seeing things through a negative perspective, how can I change myself slightly, push myself slightly, encourage myself slightly to see things through a slightly more positive angle, through a slightly more expansive angle, and an angle that makes me feel good about this situation? So I wrote a post about that this week, which was saying, the sort of caption was saying, you know, the main thing tiring you out is not your life, it's your thoughts. And it's the same thing. The main thing stressing you out, the main thing upsetting you, the main thing causing you anxiety is not life, it's not the events, it's the way that you're telling the story around them. So really, when your partner is in a bad mood, or when any shit is happening on the outside, it's not about that thing, it's about the way that you're interpreting that thing. And you are ultimately in charge of managing your own health, your happiness. You have to take those reins. You have the power to do that. And our hope is that by modeling that, we will show other people in our lives that they have the power to make themselves happy too.